Today we look at Surah Al-A'la, which is the 87th Surah of 19 ayahs. As far as many of the Mufassis are concerned, in Tabatabai as well, he says that the Surah from its context looks to be Makki, but they have been put off by some ahadith which say, for example, the 14th ayah and the 15th ayah especially. 14 and the 15th, if they were revealed because of or due to the Eid, especially Eid al-Fitr, where it says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّ وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Well, as you know, as it says, then the hadith goes and says, تَزَكَّ is to give zakat, to give the fitra, ذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى, to take the name of Allah and then go and pray. Because when you are going to pray, you are taking the name of Allah all the time and then going to complete the salat itself. So Tabatabai says it is possible that the first or ayah or the beginning of the surah is in Makkah and then later on the ayah is in Medina. But as I mentioned previously, I don't think, I mean, the complications they have created, I mean, it's not feasible that Quran could have ever revealed in the manner that many of the Mufassis think that peace means surahs coming down. To keep an account of these things, especially when people are memorizing the Quran, I mean, think of the complications. You memorize a surah. For example, my students, I tell them, memorize this surah, and after 10 days, I say, put this ayah in the middle there, and then now memorize it, and then put another ayah between there. I mean, it's just not possible. Mind-boggling, the possibility. So anyway, those hadiths could be, I think they have been taken because this fits Salah or Eid rather than being the other way around. Anyway, the surah starts, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Sabbih isma rabbika la'ala. Sabbih is to make tasbih. Sabaha literally means to swim. And also sabhun is also galloping of the horse, running a horse running fast. And also sabaha also means a person going far away in a journey. This sense also is used in the Quran, where it says that in the morning you have sabhan tawila, a long journey, walking hard and toiling. So remember Allah at night, what it says to the Prophet. So tasbih, I mean, how does sort of all these meanings fit together? Say that all these things, for example, swimming, you are going away from the shore. Traveling, you are going away from somewhere. And tasbih is to make Allah away from all the defects, to remove or push all the defects away from Allah. So making it away. And so this is how they say that the sort of things, all of these tie away, tie together. The core thing being going away, putting away. Sabbahat make tasbih, so that Allah and Subhanallah, is the meaning is that Allah is sort of above all defects. He is he's got no defects at all. To remove all defects or to dissociate all defects from him, anything that is not worthy of him. Now here it is, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la. Sabbih make tasbih, glorify isma, the name of your Lord. Al-A'la, the most high, who is above everything. Everything is under him, under his control. He is above everything. It's higher than everything. High is the sense of the being better or being everything being under him in his control. And Mufassis have sort of said, in the Quran it is used in both the ways. Sometimes it says sabbah. There is no is in the middle. There is not a name. Do not glorify it. Glorify the name of Allah. Sometimes it says just glorify Allah. So Abdu and others have sort of said that there are two ways. One is when you are speaking, when you are talking, when you are taking the name of Allah with your tongue, in that also, in your speech, you sort of remove everything that is unworthy of Allah from associating with Him, talking about Him. And when it is, the ism is not there, the name is not there, then it is when you believe with your heart, when you think or when you understand or believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe in him in such a way that he is sort of above all defects. So that's why ism is to do with the tongue, when the ism is not there, it's to do with the heart. He says it's very surprising that this thing is also in the past, especially nowadays nobody even pays heed to this thing. In the past you find Mufassis having very deep discussion, and even philosophers, that is the ism same as the Musamma? Musamma is the thing that is man, man and the thing that is man. For example, Zayd is the name of Zayd the person, or pen is actually P-E-N is the name given to this object which is a pen. And in the past, I mean, the philosophers have had long discussions saying that the name is the same thing as the named. Whereas nowadays all philosophers are agreeing that the name is different, totally different from the named. Name is something, then there we have something that is the name, and then there is a link, some sort of a link between them. And how this link develops, and this is all in language. But anyway, in the past there have been very big debates saying that the name is the same thing as the named. But nowadays nobody. So when you come across these debates, then you should say, understand that these are the sort of things. For example, here is Sabbih Isma Rabbika. Then you are, I mean, it is Allah who you have to glorify, not his name. So these are the things that have sort of given rise to this sort of debate. Allazi khalaqa fasawwa. This Rabbuka al-A'la, who is khalaqa. Khalaqa literally means to put the components of a thing together, to join them together. So this is given as a literal meaning. I think there is something more to it than, for example, though this meaning is correct and is used, I mean, many places. But then, for example, how would you say, or if this is the meaning itself, then what about ayahs like هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ فَأَرُونِ مَاذَا خَلَقَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. This, that is everything you see, is the creation of Allah. And show me something that has been created by other than Allah. Now, if it is just putting things together, we can say, oh, this house, this car, this has been created by other than Allah. We have put it together. So khalq, others have said that it has also meaning. I mean, maybe it compasses that thing, which are also part of Allah's name. Khalq is creation, to create from nothingness. I mean, we do not create. We don't create anything. We just rearrange things. But creation, bringing into existence, is something that only Allah can do. And this ayah can only be explained by that sort of explanation. Haza khalqullah. This is what Allah has brought into being. Even when we do things, we just rearrange. Winds, climate, many other agents rearrange things, etc. Whereas creation, bringing into existence, is something that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allazi khalaqa fasawwa. So Tawakkuba says khalaqa is, he gives the original meaning, that just to put things together, and sawwa is to make it perfect. So sawwa literally comes from making things level. Now when there is a whole bumpy road, and you make it level, you are perfecting it. And from there it says that then the usage has sort of grown from there. Making anything perfect is like making it level, so that it is equal to what it should do. So Allah has put all, everything together and made it perfect. So even if you look at human beings, put all his organs, his limbs, his all these things in its right place and made them perfect, so that they do what is required of them. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَحَدَى. And the one who makes taqdeer and guides. Qaddara is to set the limits. I mean, define the thing exactly. I mean, that is what actually means qaddara. In all its limits, all its boundaries are specified to compute, to measure out whatever that thing is going to be, to measure it out. Now there is a very nice ayah, and according to Tabatabai, when he talks about that ayah, he says this is one of the best ayahs of the Quran, where, and he quotes, keeps on quoting in Mizan again and again. It is actually a very beautiful ayah when we look at وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. There isn't a thing in the world, nothing, anything that you can call as a thing, except إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. But we have got stores of it, warehouse full of it, like to say, full, I mean stores and stores. In stores we have got lots and lots of those things. وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And we do not send it down. We do not actually manifest it to you, or I mean, you see it in this world, except in an amount which we know. So we have got in our store, and he says these are not the stores that we have, I mean, occupying all these huge spaces. But in there, Allah has got everything in store, but He only brings it in this material world, or makes it manifest to us, in a known amount, in the known limits, قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. And he says, it is this, I mean, He then defines the limits of everything. But He has got in store and He can sort of create everything in abundance. I mean, this is what it is in His store. He has got it, and when He wants to bring it out, He can bring it out from the store. So, Qaddara is to define the limits and the boundaries of everything. I mean, He has defined the limits, how things are going to be. A man is going to be a man. Tree is going to be tree. This, the limits and the extent of everything He has defined. قَدَّرَ فَحَدَى. And then He has guided it to wherever it is supposed to go. Everything has got a natural guidance. And many Mufassirs have said this sort of, for example, for living beings, it means the instincts of the animals. You don't have to tell them that this is how you do this, or this is what, how you start feeding when a new born sort of animal is come to the world, but they start doing things. He has guided it for its purpose. And here, I mean, most of them have said that this is the guidance of what we taqweem is. There are two things they always, and we should sort of, and there are lots of confusion when we talk about these two different levels. One is taqweem is as far as creation is concerned, in the creation, in their form, in their created form. And there is tashri'. Tashri' is legal. I mean, something that is not in your form, but you have to be told. You do it, you are said, for example, pray, do this. This is a tashri' order. Whereas, go after food, I mean, the Sharia doesn't have to tell you, go after food, do it. No, it does. I mean, some Sharia also times sort of confirm what is there already inbuilt. I mean, which is there in our sort of creation. I mean, the instinct to survive in all animals, everything. I mean, Sharia doesn't have to set down rules and laws that you have to survive or to try to survive. No, this is already there. So this is known as taqweem. And then, for example, the confusion arrives when people say, for example, there is nothing that we do but that Allah has wished it. So people say, but then I do sin. When they talk about it, they are talking about taqweem. In the form of creation, you cannot do anything which Allah has not given you permission or begging permission. You cannot even think about it. It is not existed. It does not exist. It hasn't been created. Things that haven't been created cannot be done. So, for example, even when you do ma'atiyah, that thing has been created. Stealing. So taking away the thing. I mean, that has been created. That form. So that even the ideas are there. Things which haven't been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ideas are not there at all. I mean, that thing isn't there. So we see that only things which Allah has given us permission to do can take place. This is what they mean by taqweem, not tashri'. In tashri'i, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously says, don't do this. You can do it. So if taqweem is concerned, the possibility is there. When the possibility is there, then it means that taqweem, Allah has created that thing in as far as creation is concerned. But as far as the level of Sharia is concerned, legal things are concerned, He is saying not to do or what to do or not. There are two different levels, and we must hear وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَحَدَى. And He has guided everything. As far as their creation itself is concerned, He has guided them. They know where to go, how to go, where to look for, and all these things. And there are instincts within us which sort of help us in surviving. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. Mar'a is pasture, anything that animals, cattle feed on. So Allah akhraja al-mar'a, who brings out the pasture, the plants. فَجَعَلَهُ غُطَاءً أَحْوَى. And He makes it at the end. Gufa means a river carrying dead leaves and dead materials. See, when the river starts flowing, I mean, when there is sort of rain starts falling and there is drought for some time and then the river starts falling, it collects all this rubbish on top of it. This is known as Ghafa. and Gopa is and then it deposits it on the banks of the wadi. And this is actually the original meaning of Gopa, is all these dead and dried leaves which are sort of deposited on the sides of the river. Ahwa from Hawa is something that is dark colored. Ahwa, dark colored, right? So these leaves or dead plants, he is the one who makes الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى, brings out the mar'a, the plants, the pasture, and makes it at the end whittle and sort of dead. Kutha and ahwa, dark colored whittle, dead, without life. So you see, the Quran also gives a lot of importance to this concept which we always see, and we see it with our eyes, year in, year out. Plants growing, dying, and summer coming in, then autumn, and winter when everything finishes, and spring comes back and everything starts, the earth starts living again, and this cycle. And in some sense, I mean, the Quran wants to bring it out that actually this is what Ba'asat is, this is what resurrection is. I mean, this every day you see, how is Allah going to make us alive again? This is how He's going to make you alive. You see it every year, the earth dying and then coming up to life next year. This is an example it grows upon very often. And in fact, there is a very nice ayah in the Quran which says that the malaika or whatever who are commissioned to take your life, they take away something from you. And that then there is a body is left. And this thing is that is going to be brought again to life. Now an example, very good example, is something that always happens in the plants. I mean, the plants when they die, they leave something which has got the whole plant, the imprint of the plant in it, which then grows back. That is the seed. So we also have something, some core within us. That is the thing that is going to be taken out. And that thing can again be brought into what we are, that is me. And that is what, for example, most of the religious people or scholars would say, the soul. He takes the soul away. That is you. The body is nothing. I mean, the body can be substituted again later on. But you are intact. Allah takes you away. Tawaffa. The tawaffa, taking it away. Extracting it. He extracts this thing away, which is you. Keeps it with him. And when the time comes, this is how he's going. And the example is very nice. I mean, here the plants, they deposit something. They leave behind something from which the plant can grow again. There's no need for the whole plant to be kept. Only this small thing where everything is encapsulated. The whole thing, the whole plant is in there. So this example of plant growing, the earth coming to life and dying, has been brought quite frequently in the Quran to remind us of the hereafter. So this is how it's going to happen. Gufa and Sanukuriuka Falatansa. Now then it starts with the Prophet Sanukuriuka. We will make you read. Sanukuriuka. We will certainly make you read Falatansa. And you will not forget when we make you read. Now this is many of the Mufassir said when the Prophet, you see, he has a very big responsibility. Something is being revealed to him. And then he is told to go and tell this thing to the people. Now he has to tell his them as it has been revealed to him. He doesn't have to put anything from within him. And all so he was very scared, and he used to keep on repeating this, in least that he forgets it. And until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look, don't worry about sanukuriuka fala tansa. We will make you read it, and we will make you not forget it, so that you remember it in such a way that you don't forget it. Illa ma shaa Allahu. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Except what Allah wants you to forget. Now many Mufassirs, and that is what the obvious, the first thing, that there are some things that Allah will make you forget, because He doesn't want you to remember those things, then He'll make you forget. But the Quran is not that case. That is the case with every one of us. We remember things and forget things. So if Allah is going to give some special attention to the Prophet in making him remember, then it doesn't mean that he's going to make him forget. Other than it's like all of us, there is no speciality given to him. But he says that Allah always puts this thing. That even though we have told you we are going to make you remember, it does not mean that the power of making you forget has been removed from us. we still have the power. And he also brings this thing that even when he talks about the day of Qiyamah, they are going to live there forever except until Allah wishes. That clearly shows that his power is not being sort of denied, is not being negated. That we are going to make you remember and not forget. That does not mean that we no longer have the power to make you forget. No, our power still is intact. And it's only showing that not that we are going to, we don't use that power, it's up to us. There is no indication that he is going to use this power. But the Prophet did forget. In fact, we have got lots of hadith, especially in the Sunni literature, there is more than in our literature, says that there are ayahs which the Prophet forgot. This surah was so big and now we only have got one third of it, and the other was, well, the Prophet was meant to forget, and so on and so forth. But Allah Ta'ala says from this verse, nothing of that sort is understood. It is only that Allah is saying, that does not mean that I am negating my power, I still have the power to make you forget. But we are going to make you remember, this is the responsibility we have put on you, and we are going to help you in remembering what we have revealed to you. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. And he knows what is jahr. Jahr is what is, for example, there is sometimes you talk, but you talk within yourself, that's not jahr. But when it's brought out into words, clear open words that everybody can hear, then it's jahr. In qawl, and jahr in some is something that you can hear, you actually hear. So jahr is something that comes out, it is out, it's evident, it's, can be seen by our senses, especially of tongue and speaking and of hearing. So he knows what is evident, what has come out, everybody can see. But not only that, wama yakfa, what is even not jahr, which is concealed. So he knows everything, what is evident and what is concealed. So he can do whatever he wishes, he can make you remember things if he wants to, because he knows how things are being remembered and he knows all the secrets. And you should also remember that here when he is talking to the Prophet, there are three stages. One is of making him read, giving him the revelation so that he doesn't forget. The other one is making things easy for him, as we will see. And the third one is that he has to then sort of convey this message, and then the acceptance by the people of the message. And so وَمَا يَخْفَى وَنُيَكْسِرُكَ لِلْيُسْرًا. نُيَكْسِرُ, يَكْسَرَ is to make things easy. Yusr is easy, as we said when we were talking about إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, verily with difficulty is easy. Yusr, يَكْسَرَ is to make something easy. وَنُيَكْسِرُكَ, and we are going to make it easy for you. Until you reach lil yusra, until you reach yusra, until you reach state where it is ease, only ease. Now, if you combine it with that ayah where we said inna ma'al usri yusra, then there is a very strong indication that this making easy is actually bringing difficulty for you. Inna ma'al usri yusra. So, yusra is not possible but with usra. So, we are going to make it difficult and basic making it easy, to take you towards ease. So we are going to make it easy for you. We are going to take you to the through the path where it is easy to reach ease, a state of ease where everything is in harmony and you are in comfort. Fadhakir, then remind. Zakir is to remember. Zakir is to remind. Remind. Inna fa'atir zikra. Inna fa'atir zikra. If reminding has any advantages, any benefits, then remind. Or others have said that here in is not a conditional statement but in the sense of qad. It is certainly. Remind, certainly reminding is beneficial. In nafa'at is zikra. Zikra is always going to give its fruits. Tabatabai says it's not true. I mean, he doesn't think that, because in other places in the Quran it has been said that if they turn away, then you turn away from them. Don't forget them. Don't worry about them. So he said, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الزِّكْرَ. Here is actually, as it is, a conditional sentence. Remind them if reminding is beneficial, if it has any advantages, it is useful. If it isn't useful, then turn away from them. And even the later ayahs actually hint towards that sort of thing. But in the first instance, reminding is necessary. For those who are good, they will accept the remembrance. Those who are not good, it is a hujjah, it is a sort of argument. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though He doesn't need an argument, He, out of His kindness and benevolence, He said, I am going to give you an argument, so that you can actually argue with me and say that you did not do this. We have got no right to argue with Allah, but even then He has given this, and He has made it such that we will have no argument, no hujjah on that day. Absolutely, we will accept that, no, we don't have any argument against you. And this, the first remembrance, or first reminding, for those who are good, they will accept it. Those who are bad, as the ayah said, following ayah said, they will reject it and will turn away, run away from it. But then you don't have to remind those people, because then there is no point in reminding, there is no nafa, there is no use, there is no benefit in reminding. So he said, here it is a conditional sentence, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى, and those who fear, who are khushu, will remember, will accept this remembrance and will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaksha is literally sort of, if you look at the books of our dictionaries and lexicons, they say, Ragib, for example, says, khushu is not only fear, it is fear that is derived from awe, when something is huge and you are nothing, I mean, you see yourself as nothing in front of somebody, this awe, I mean, of somebody who is so great. Then that is the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is so great and you find yourself nothing and very small, and then this creates a lot of dread and fear in you, and this is the fear. And so this fits with other things as well, where for example in the famous ayah it says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء, only the ulama fear Allah. If you know Allah, those who know Allah and His greatness and all this, they are the ones who actually fear or have the right aim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think themselves small. So anyway, one thing which is very clear in this ayah is سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى, those who have khushu. This khushu is not put by religion, this khushu is not after religion, this khushu is before religion. They are going to remember. This remembrance is going to be beneficial for those people who have khushu. And this is also in many other places in the Quran as well. There is a sort of taqwa which is before religion. When we were talking of the other surahs, we also say that those who have got this mercy, whose hearts are still so sort of soft, that when they say evil, when they say evil, when they see something is cruelty, and they are moved and want to do something, these are the people who will listen to you telling the Prophet. And this, here also there is this khushu. If this has been killed off, I mean, religion will not help you, cannot help you. This has to be there, which is there by creation in everyone, all of us. Now one of the things which have been brought in, I think we are running, but after this I'll conclude and finish the surah next time. One thing which has been sort of pointed out by many, the Quran doesn't give you any example or any proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if you look at du'as, it is very evident that du'as also say that there's nothing. I mean, in fact we have du'as which say that how can I find or uncover something that is so obvious and covered, and so obvious and so plain, or when were you hidden that I sort of go and look for you? And this sort of phrases in the dua, and also Quran sort of takes it for granted, and our mystics or of us especially have they have known this, because there is this sort of thing. One of the poets says, I took as man mantari, you who are more me than I am. I mean, we are not uncovered from ourselves. We can never be uncovered. We don't go and step, go and find proofs, do I exist or am I within something, me within that is me. No, we know I am there. This is the last thing which is in your mind. But this poet says that God is even more you than you are. More, and also the eye of the Quran says is nearer to you than in fact yourself or your wings, which are sort of part of you. He is nearer to you. So this concept is always there, this, because we have been created, we cannot be away from Allah. We cannot even, and this very much being obvious, I mean this being very near, this is the thing that actually covers him up. Which, for example, also in some of the verses you say that you are so near, I mean, And that is actually maxim of ours. We become so used to it, something that is always there, and we don't become aware of it. It's very difficult to sort of become aware of it. You become aware of things which are there and not there, there and not there. So sort of intermittent. Then you think of it and realize it. But when it is always there, you don't realize it. It takes a lot of sort of attention to actually realize that that thing is there. I think we will develop this later, otherwise Om Zainab is going to finish this. So inshallah we will develop this and continue later on. So when I have time for questions then.